to the Mommy Beta Podcast. We are four new mommies beta testing parenthood. We are Natalie, Alex, and Jennifer, and this is episode 24. We are so glad you joined us. How are you, ladies?
Great.
Doing great.
Well, very good. Well, this is the podcast where we talk about the things that we've been blogging about on mommybeta.com, and I thought I would kick it off today, even though I want to talk about something I haven't yet blogged about, but I intend to, and that is morning sickness. I haven't talked about this yet because I've still been in my first trimester, but surprise, I'm pregnant with baby number two. That's my big news.
It's huge.
Yeah. Well, it is huge. I'm not huge yet, but I'm, you know, anticipating that.
No, you're not huge.
I'll get there. It's really hard to wrap your head around, especially when you sort of feel like you've just been there, because Miles is 15 months now. And, you know, I did want to have baby number two fairly close. I want them to be playmates. And, you know, I figured if I waited too long, I probably would talk myself out of the whole ordeal. Because pregnancy, as beautiful it is, I wouldn't say it's the funnest time in your life, would you?
I love
especially if you're feeling sick.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's special, but I wouldn't call it fun. You have to psych yourself out to do it again, wouldn't you say? Like, you have to be ready for it mentally.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think definitely for that. I mean, I'm not an alcoholic by any means, but the only thing I really missed was just not being able to, you know, indulge every now and then.
But otherwise, Jennifer.
I loved my pregnancy.
She says,
everyone smiles at you. They give you your seat. You have excuses for eating more. So I had a great time.
I'm with you, Jennifer. Loved every minute of the pregnancy, but I have to say it's because I didn't experience that bad of morning sickness. It was the first few months that I'm not looking forward to, just because it was kind of scary this first time around. So I'm nervous it's going to be the second time around, but hopefully not.
It's not scary because this is not my first rodeo. You know, I know what to expect, and it feels exactly the same as it did last time. The same foods make me sick, the same amount of morning sickness, the same tiredness. It's exactly the same, which makes me think I probably am going to have another boy.
And you're not finding out, right?
No, I'm not going to find out for this one either.
But I don't know how you do that.
Oh, it's
I
so know. Impossible.
You know, it was such a special surprise, and I feel like if I find out for this one, then I'll just be doing things because, it's baby number two, forget it, you know, and I don't want to do anything to make it less ceremonial. I want it to be just as special as it was the first time. I want to, you know, celebrate the baby in the same way. But that's the one thing that I've wanting to be to blog about, because I was in the OB's office the other day getting my blood work, and the nurse came in, and she's one of those nurses who really takes of special interest in her patients. You know, I can tell she's going to be there for me from top to bottom. She's lovely. And I said to her, she said, well, are you so excited about baby number two? And I said, I am. You know, I've been really sick, so it's hard to get yourself excited. But also I said, I don't know how I'm going to find room in my heart for baby number two. I'm so in love with my child that I can't, and I'm not the kind of person who love kids. I love my kid, but I don't love all kids in general. And I love all the baby betas because they're special and they're ours.
Of course you do.
but I don't love kids in general. So I'm kind of, it's hard for me to wrap my head around adding a stranger to our family, which I guess is a weird way to say it. And my mom said she felt a little bit like that. Like when she had me and then she got pregnant, she thought, oh, this is the last time we'll be alone, you and me. We have such a special relationship. And then she says, when the baby comes, you get over that really fast. But, you know, I've known that I've been pregnant for, I want to say 6 weeks, 7 weeks now. And I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. I obviously want to take great care of this baby. I'm eating well. I'm trying to rest and, you know, avoiding anything that's bad for me, although I do not want anything to do with alcohol. That just the smell of coffee and alcohol turn my stomach, and then I'm running to the bathroom.
At least you're not craving it.
No.
Yeah,
no.
I liked coffee during my pregnancy.
Yeah, I want nothing to do with it. I'm craving the same stuff. It's green apples and lemonade, as I did with Miles, green apples and lemonade. Mm.
You know, now something you said a minute ago made me think. You said, you know, this is the last time I'm going to be alone with him, you know, that your mom had mentioned that kind of feeling. And it made me think about right before I had Dominic. I remember the night I went into labor, Sean and I had this like little minute in the kitchen before we left for the hospital where I thought, this is the last time it's going to be just us. And I remember feeling really emotional about that and, you know, almost a little sad. And now, like, I love that it's not just us all the time. You know, sometimes it's still just us, and sometimes it'll still be able to be just you and Miles. But, you know, I guess maybe that's a little bit of an idea of how your heart can open when your heart opened from just you and Clayton to you and Clayton and Miles. So it has that capacity, and it's done it before, and there's no reason to think that it's not going to do it again for your new baby.
Right.
Definitely.
And my neighbor across the street who has two boys said she felt the same way when her second one came along. Like, oh, I'll never love anything as much as this. How could I possibly? And so I know that we all feel like this, but maybe we just don't say it, because when I said that to the nurse says to me, I said, well, I guess all moms feel like that, right? And she goes, no one's ever said that to me before. She said, moms have said to me, I don't know how I'm going to handle it. Two is more work. How am I going to cope? But no one's ever said, how am I going to find room in my heart?
That's interesting.
I mean, maybe you felt this way. I mean, just like what Natalie was saying before Miles came along. I mean, this baby's a stranger. Miles was a stranger. But once they come out of your, you know, vagina and you're holding them in your arms, it's like, probably know each other pretty well.
Yeah, it's true. I felt exactly the same way with Miles. Like, who are you in there? This little stranger who insists on coming into my life. And it was the most beautiful thing ever. So I don't feel like I won't be able to. I know that I'm capable of loving him or her. I just... You know, I'm still wrapping my head around what it will feel like, because I thought that because I knew that I was capable of loving someone maternally, that I would love this one maternally right away. And it's just, you know, I said to Clayton last night, I'm like, the weird thing about pregnancy is you're taking care of someone you don't know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could be a little jerk in there, but, you know, it's my little jerk. So
you'll still love him.
I will love him just as much, or her little jerk.
That's so interesting that when you say I will love them just as much. My mom has four kids, and... it was interesting. We were at a table once, and this lady who we were having dinner with asked my mom, oh, so you have four kids. How do you do that? You must love, you know, you must have a favorite. And my mom looked at her, and she was just appalled, like, no, I don't have a favorite. And, you know, I think the truth is there are going to be things that you love about each one more. Like, maybe you're going to love your special moments with Miles, you know, at a baseball game. And if you have a little girl, maybe you're going to love going shopping with her. So I think there are going to be certain things with each one of your kids that you might enjoy or love more. But I think overall, the love is going to be the same for both. You're going to love them equally.
Although there was recently research that was on Clayton's show, Fox and Friends, and then they talked about it as well on Daddy on Board, where psychologists were coming out and doing research about parenthood, and they said 95% of parents have a favorite and 5% of them lie about it.
Really?
That all parents do have maybe not a favorite, but one that's, you know, because you hear daddy's little girl and mommy's boy, and, you know, usually they're sort of, one is favored by the other, and I definitely feel like my mom favors my sister. I'll just say that right here. and that my dad, you know, favors me. It's just sort of that's the nature of things. Even though you know your parents love you as much, there's always one that you tend to be closer to.
I think it's common, too. I'm more common than people admit.
Oh, yeah, but I think it's different than loving.
Oh, no, definitely different.
I think the love is going to be the same. You're going to love both. But, yeah, you're going to have preferences and favor. You're going to favor one over the other in different ways.
Right. And you see people sort of baby their baby, you know, the youngest one. And I can't wrap my head around that yet either. Like, when the baby comes along, then that will be the baby. Because right now there is the baby, you know.
Right.
So, you must have felt this at one point when you're even considering baby number two. Like, how can I love another thing this much? Because it's overwhelming the way you love your child.
I think the thing that gets me thinking is what is this going to do to Dominic? Like, how is he going to be able to share me and my husband? I think that's the thing that's harder for me is to think about what he's going to think about this little kind of intruder in his world.
Yeah, I thought about that too. And the day that I told Clayton I was pregnant, and I'll tell you that story in a second because it's funny. I started crying and I said, "Are we doing right by him?"
Yeah.
And he goes, "Of course we are." You know, he looks at other kids when we're at restaurants and he wants to play with them. And then I feel sorry that he's just stuck with his loser parents. So, I do think he wants a playmate. He wants that.
You know, I think it's the way parents position it also. So if you start from the beginning, like, Miles, you're going to be a big brother. You're going to be the best big brother. I think that's going to help. Also, I think part of it is positioning before the baby comes, and, you know, letting him help in picking out, you know, room decorations or buying a special toy just for the baby, his baby brother or sister. And he may not completely understand it because he's a little young, but just that he's so involved in the process.
Right.
I think will help a lot. And, you know, some parents just all of a sudden it's like, okay, a new baby pops out and they haven't done that prep work. And I think the kids are overwhelmed, like, hey, who is this intruder? Exactly what you said, Natalie. Intruder versus, you know, oh, this is my little brother or sister.
Yeah.
I was reading, interestingly enough, Babysitter sent out a note, an e-newsletter about, oh, are you thinking about baby number two? And it had a link to this article with all these different, the different age ranges and how children will feel at each one of those periods of their life.
That's interesting.
You know, if you're waiting 1 to 2 years, there will be possibly, you know, more competitiveness among the two, more fighting over the toys. But they will have more in common.
Right.
However, you know, the 2 to 3 mark, they said, was the most common. And they said they will still have these interests. They'll be able to play with one another, but there won't be as much of in their spaces.
Yeah.
And then the 3+, they said it's a little harder for the baby, the kid at that point, to grasp another child coming into in changing the dynamic of the family.
That was less than a year, they said?
No, that was more. That was like three years.
Because
so basically, the longer they are without a sibling, they get used to to that dynamic.
Right, right. And they didn't seem to say too much about when they're babies and it comes in and they're between the 1 and 2 year mark. It just seemed more about the dynamics of the kids.
Right. And, you know, I read this great book while I was pregnant called Nurture Shock, about new ways of thinking about rearing children, which I highly recommend for anyone raising kids. And there was a chapter in there about sibling rivalry. And they had taken children and they interviewed them. And they said, well, how do you feel about your brother or your sister? And all of them said, oh, I beat her up, or I hate my brother, I hate my sister. But then when it came down to situations which required them to either share with them or protect them, they always did. And they asked the kids, they tried to get to the root of the problem. Why did they profess to always fighting with their brother and sister when in reality they loved them? And they got it from mostly the narrative of books. When you read books about, you know, oh, my little brother's a pain, my little sister's a pain, that's sort of, they think they're supposed to. That cartoons and books really, you know, teach them that they're supposed to think that their little brother or sister is a pain in the butt. Really, they love them.
That's
interesting.
It said to really be careful and look out for those kind of narratives, because you can combat that right off the top, where they don't think it's natural to just beat up their brother or sister.
No Shel Silverstein sister for sale. Oh, that used to be my favorite poem.
Yeah. And I think the Clifford novels, the Clifford books were especially guilty of that. They were another thing to do with that. So anyhow, this is just the first of many podcasts where I will talk about this pregnancy. So I don't want to, you know, exhaust the topic when I'm sure that, you know, pregnant women love to talk about themselves. But I'll just end the topic by telling you how I told Clayton. It was really funny. I had not been able to get enough hot sauce that weekend, and I was like,
And Natalie, I think you should let everybody know, this wasn't planned, right?
Well, no, it was, actually. We had decided that we wanted to start trying by the end of the year, and we talked about this on this podcast before, about the type of birth control that I was on when I was nursing. So when I switched off of that birth control when I was nursing, the new type of birth control the doctor put me on was making me sick. And so I was like, you know, I don't really want to take this. And if we're thinking of having another baby in a couple of months, maybe I shouldn't be putting this through my system and then come off of it, you know, 6 months later. It seems like a lot to put myself through. So let's just kind of see what happens. And it only took 1 month. So I didn't think I would get pregnant until the end of the year. But, you know, we're ready for it. We're in a good place for it. So we figured, might as well go for it.
Awesome.
So, but, you know, we had just casually talked about it, and then we put it out of our mind, and I was kind of playing the ovulation game, and I lost the game, or you could say
or you won.
I won that game. and so we were up in the mountains, and I knew I had a pregnancy test up there, so I didn't tell him I was going to take it in the morning. You know, the box says take it in the morning when the hormone is the highest concentrated. So I got up in the morning really early because he got up to go to the bathroom at like 5. So I got up and went to the bathroom right after him. And I took a lot longer. And then when I got, and you know, when I saw the stick, I was like, well, I'm not going to wake him up right now. I'll just wait until he's, you know, fully awake. And he was like, you know, when I got back in bed, he's like, what happened? You have to do number two. And I was like, nice. Yeah, that was it. And he goes, okay. And then he went back to sleep. And then Miles woke up early and I decided, let's go to breakfast. And he goes, oh, you don't want to eat here? I'm like, no, let's go to breakfast. So we went to breakfast and I took the stick in a little bag, one of the little, just a little like canvas bag that I had actually from Charlie Banana. It's one of the bags you carry your mama cloth in.
Oh, yeah.
So I took it and we sat down to breakfast and we ordered and he ordered some coffee. And then I said, well, I have to tell you something. And Miles is chewing on some toast and he goes, what? And I said, there's someone else. And I passed him the bag and he opened it. And so I have positive pregnancy test. So by someone else, I mean someone else coming into
it. Did he get like nervous? Did you think you meant like?
He looked at me like, what? I mean, when would I really have time to have someone in my life anyway? And he knows that's so unlikely. Not that I even ever want anyone else in my life. I mean, you know, I'm struggling with even wanting a baby in my life now. So he didn't think it was a real possibility, but it was a funny yoke.
Good job. Much better than the I am conversation that Clinton tried to have with you for Miles.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Where I was like, you better call me right now. That's a whole other story. We'll exhaust that another time. So enough about my pregnancy and my uterus. I guess we will get back there. Let's talk about Jennifer because she wants to talk about health related issues as well. Jennifer, what brought this up, this post about toys in the doctor's office?
Yeah, the mommychondriac is back. I was in the doctor yesterday for Elle's one-year appointment, and of course you walk in, and there are all these toys. There's the little push car. There's the fun little, what is that little box called with all the little things that you can push around on it? Yeah. The train table glaring at us, you know, and my daughter just got over this cold that's lasted for 2 weeks that Tom and I both got. And the last thing I'm wanting is to get sick again. So I held her in my lap and looked her at the fish tank and all that stuff. But I was just curious of what other parents do at the doctor's office, because I'm guessing Natalie Gaffori, it's probably getting harder to restrain Dominic, you know.
Yeah.
He's in a room surrounded by toys, and I was just curious what you guys thought.
Well, we've been lucky so far in that our doctor runs really on time, and the doctor and the waiting room, we hardly ever have to spend any time in the waiting room. So that's mm-hmm. been super good. I am definitely in your camp where I'd prefer that he doesn't touch anything in the waiting room. When I'm even at my, you know, OB's office, I don't even touch the magazines, and I yell at Sean when he does. And that's an OB's office, you know, people are generally pretty healthy in there.
Yeah.
But now we actually, when we get into the doctor's room itself, where you're seen, there are some toys in there. And I have let him play with those because, I mean, I'm sure it's the same thing as in the waiting room. But, you know, what are you going to do when you're in this sterile environment and there's not really anything else to do? Like the waiting room, you know, there's more action to look at.
Mm-hmm.
But so, you know, there's like a little rocker thing. There's not any like little toys that he'd put in his mouth. But I have let him do that a little bit because, you know, at a certain point, what are you going to do? And this last visit was the first time I ever let him touch any of that stuff. But I remember when I was little, my doctor's office had this like awesome play area and I thought it was super cool and it kind of made me excited to go to the doctor. So I think it's a fine line.
That's true. And actually, yesterday, Elle did find a box of books in the room we were in and was reading those because she can read now. I don't know if you guys know that.
And did she give you a book report? Double
stuff? Not yet. I just wanted her to read the books for fun now. No homework yet.
That's next year.
Yeah. But she was playing with those. But what do you other ladies, have you let your little ones play at the doctor's?
Yeah, well, Reese is kind of all over the place now. We just had our 15-month checkup. But similar to you, she just got over a cold. And she was kind of, she didn't want to be in my arms. I couldn't contain her. So she was kind of running around grabbing books, and there's a chalkboard. And I won't lie, I thought about it. I'm like, oh, this is so gross. She's going to get sick again. But I mean, there's nothing I could do, but I didn't want her screaming. And we were only there a few minutes. In the waiting room. But I do like, I don't know if you guys have heard, some doctor's office have a wellness room. So there are two different rooms for appointments. So if you're coming in because your child's sick, you'll go wait in that room. And if you're coming in just for a monthly checkup, then you'll go in that room. And I love that concept. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. our doctor doesn't have that, but I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of that either. Yeah. I like that. I don't know how much space they have, but...
There's one in my doctor's office, although I just kind of doubt the ability to really segregate germs that way. And then, you know, I think you also should take a cue from the rest of the office, how sanitary they are, because where we go, they're really great about wiping everything down. And I can't sit there and hold him and say, look at all those toys that you cannot touch. even though, you know, I was watching the Today Show not long ago and they had said, don't let your kids play with those toys. I guess you could just walk them around outside, although once it starts snowing here, I'm not about to do that. So I don't know. I think, you know, I do make sure they have a lot of hand sanitizer in there, although mm-hmm. you want to make sure you get the kind without alcohol in it, that I just, you know, wipe him down and make him wash his hands as soon as he's done and watch that he doesn't put his hands in his mouth while he's touching those things.
So. Yeah, that's the tricky part, just making sure they don't do that. Otherwise, it seems like it'd be okay. I mean, I just... Yeah, you don't know. I mean, my other thinking is, if the kid is really sick, I doubt he's going to be running around and playing. Maybe, maybe not. You know, like if someone has RSV or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you maybe. Know, we had MRSA recently, which doesn't necessarily make them act sick. It's just something right. that's on their skin. So that mm-hmm. made me scared of everything then.
Mm-hmm.
But, you yeah. know, I just try and tell myself what you had said in one of our recent podcasts about how moms that overprotect their kids are the, you know, ones that are more prone to leukemia or something like that. Like, there really isn't a huge upside in being crazy about this kind of
right.
thing. We just got to do mm-hmm. the best we can.
Yeah. And I wasn't sure, like, how crazy is crazy if we know we're in a place where all the kinds of sick kids are, you know? It's not like I'm getting a grocery cart and maybe there was a sick kid, maybe there wasn't, but I know that there are sick kids here, you know?
Yeah.
So that's where
I think you do what you can. You know, you try to get them not to put stuff in their mouths and you use the hand sanitizer and you do that kind of stuff. But, you know, you've got to let them be their little selves too.
Yeah. Well, thankfully she wasn't throwing a tantrum or anything. Eventually we'll get there.
Yeah.
Surely. Well, let's thank our show sponsor, Gazelle.com, before we move on, because we wanted to tell you about their great service. We're so happy that they're sponsoring our show because they are a very neat website where you can get rid of your used electronics for cash or an Amazon gift card or for a charity fundraiser if you want. So the way it works is you look around your house, you find something that maybe you're not using, maybe your spouse is not using, and you go to Gazelle.com and you see what that's worth. If you're agreeable to that price, then you tell Gazelle.com, okay, let's do this. They will help you print out a shipping label right then and there, or they will send you a box if that thing is kind of arduous to send in yourself. And once that product arrives, they confirm it is, in fact, in the condition in which you said it was in. And then they mail you a check, they give you a PayPal payment, or they give you an Amazon gift card, which you can use with actually 5% more of the value than they had agreed upon because you use Amazon, because I think they have some kind of arrangement. Or you can also use it as a fundraiser if you want to donate that money towards a cause like the Japanese earthquake, you can do that as well. So it's a really great service, really great, especially because iPhone 4 just came out and iPhone 4S rather, people are reporting that they're getting almost the entire value for iPhone 4. And then they go and buy the iPhone 4S for basically free. You just upgrade for free because the iPhone 4 is still a great phone, worth a lot of money to a lot of people. So check out Gazelle.com. Make sure you tell them that you heard about them on the Mommy Beta podcast. We appreciate them so much for their support.
Thanks, Gazelle.
Thank you. All right, so let's move on to Natalie's post, which got a lot of traction this week. You wanted to talk about being a one-car family, and I think this is great. Tell us how this decision came along.
Yeah, so I'm in charge of the finances for our family, so I make our budget, and I pay all of our bills and do all of that. And every time I'd kind of look over the budget and say, oh, you know, where could we save? You know, what are our big expenditures? I kept coming back to the line items for cars, for our car payments, our maintenance, our gas, and our insurance. And I just thought, you know, this is so much money we're spending on cars. And, we're doing fine. It's not that we had to do this, but it just seemed like, why keep spending all this money when there was a better solution, especially since we're trying to save and buy a house? You know, the more money we save, the faster we'll reach the goal. So we decided to sell both of our cars. We had, you know, probably nicer cars than we should have had. Car buying has been our bad financial decision for, you know, it's the worst financial decisions we've made as car buying. We had an Audi and a Volkswagen Touareg, and they were just, you know, our car payments were too high. So we decided to sell both of those cars. And then with the money that we got from those cars, after we paid off our loans, we were able to buy a Jeep Grand Cherokee, which is still a nice car. And we had to put a little bit extra money in. But so we wiped out our car payment. So no car payments, less, cheaper gas, all these kind of things. We figured we're going to save almost $1,000 a month.
That's amazing.
Just, isn't that like crazy amount of money?
Yeah. So, $12,000 a year.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot. That's like making an extra, yeah, you know, because that's after tax. So that's making like an extra $15,000 to $18,000 a year, like adding that to your salary, basically. Mm-hmm. So we're pretty excited about that. I know it's not something everybody can do, but I was really surprised by how many people on the blog said that they are doing the same thing. And I think, you know, it kind of speaks to the current move toward more transit-friendly development, people kind of being more conscious about the decisions they're making as far as where they're living and where they're working and you know, what kind of things they're consuming. And I was excited to see that there were like 8 people who commented saying, oh yeah, you know, we're a one car family too. And I thought this was kind of, you know, like a weird thing to be doing. I mean, I say in my post, you know, are we crazy? And everybody was like, no, you're not crazy. You know, if you can do it, if you have your life is set up in a way where it works for you, then, you know, go for it. So I was surprised. Nat, I didn't know that you guys only had one car too.
Well, yeah, we just moved from Manhattan, so we didn't need 2 cars in the city. And then when we moved out, we thought, do we need 2 cars? But, you know, no one commutes into Manhattan with a car, so we take the train. So that means only one of us will be home at a time, and we don't need 2 cars at the same time if there's only one body home. Now, it may be a little bit different when it comes time to, you know, when the kids are in karate lessons and school and all that. Maybe that will be a bit harder, but we don't see a need for it. We just have the one car. That's how it works. So, and yeah, I've thought about like if we need one, you know, I don't know. It's expensive. I don't want another car.
So. We're the same way. Josh wants to get another car. First, we live in San Francisco. We don't have another parking space. We just have one. So right before Reese came along, I sold my car and his car is paid off. So we don't have a car payment. So he wants to trade his car in or the one car we have now and get a new one. And I have absolutely put my foot down. We're not doing it for the same reasons. I don't want a car payment. And it seems to work. He works in San Francisco. And, you know, 1 to 2 days a week, I don't have a car, but it's fine because everything's within walking distance. Or I have the things that I need within walking distance.
Yeah, and for us, we have 2 cars, but car payments are not something that, I've learned a lot about finances from my husband, thankfully, and we've never wanted a car payment, and he's never, since I've known him, had a car payment, because we have an awesome Honda Prelude that he bought,
Ride.
Yeah, super sweet. We always joke about it when we walk by it, like, look at that sick car, or we see one on the road. Not that it's not a nice car, you know, but it's not like what you think of as family friendly, but he bought it, I don't know, years and years and years ago on Craigslist, and, you know, paid in full, all that.
We love our Craigslist family. Oh, you guys are so awesome.
Yeah, you can buy everything.
Did you find L on Craigslist?
Oh, I should have bought my pregnancy test on Craigslist.
That's sketchy.
Yeah. Well, it's crazier that Natalie just has a pregnancy test in the home in the mountains. I mean, was this from like 2 years ago or something? Or
no,
did you?
No. I'm paranoid about constantly being pregnant, so I just keep them on hand.
She was pregnant with Miles taking the pregnancy test.
Yeah, and I just had it, you know. I just have always been a little bit paranoid that I might be pregnant, and so I just keep them around. I'm crazy like that.
Just one in her glove box.
It's like my irrational fear of, you know, not that pregnancy is so scary, but I'm just always like, is something wrong? I must be pregnant. So I just keep them
doing
around.
Certain things if you are pregnant, you know.
Yeah, maybe someday I'll learn how that happens, how it works.
No, I meant like drinking heavily or something like that.
Let the record be show that I was not drunk when I conceived either of my children. All right, so, please continue.
So the car. So then when Elle was coming along, we obviously needed a bigger car. We can't I mean, I guess you can put a car seat in a Prelude, but it doesn't seem very safe. So my parents had just bought a new car about a year or two before, and they had their car at home because they weren't getting what they wanted for the trade-in offer. So they were just going to keep it, and my mom was going to use it as a second car because she has an SUV, and, you know, with gas prices and all that, she was just going to use the sedan when she would not need the other. So we talked, and then they said they would give us the car. We just had to pay for it to be shipped out here, which was awesome. So we paid for it to be shipped out here, and other than a little maintenance, it's been great, but we have had no car payment. We have a sedan. So it's great. If we had to get rid of the Prelude, I think we could, because transit options are really great over here. But for now, we don't have any car payments, and we have both of them. So
That's great. Is it expensive to ship a car?
It was like about $500, I want to say.
Oh, that's pretty cheap.
Yeah, they just put it on the back of one of those things, and haul it over. Yeah, $500 to $1,000. I can't really remember the exact amount.
That's less than driving it out yourself.
No, definitely. Kidding. Yeah. And no one wants to. Well, I didn't want to put my mom on that. Make her do that while my dad's farming or something. So that was another nice option that we had. But my husband's got big beliefs or philosophies about how to pay for cars and all that stuff. I'm trying to get him to write some finance posts on our blog fund that
he
started.
That's a great idea.
So I'll tell him you guys are encouraging that.
Yes, please definitely. Do. Yeah, I have some questions about that kind of stuff. So,
ask Tom.
I recently made. You know what? I will. I won't get into.
No,
it.
No. I meant like it's going to be a column. Ask Tom, baby finance guy.
That's great.
Well, we're proud of you, Nat, for making that decision. It seems like it was something that seemed hard for you to come to terms with, but it's been working out, right?
It's been great. And it was hard to make the leap and think, okay, we can definitely do this. Because, you know, my car was parked most of the time, but, you know, every once in a while I would need it during the day when Sean was gone. And, you know, we've made some compromises and we sat down and we said, okay, so we really need to communicate with each other when we need the car, because I don't want to feel like I'm putting you out by asking you that I need the car and vice versa. So we're just trying to like lay it all on the line up front and be like, okay, this is going to be a challenge, but it's not impossible. And as long as we are communicating about it, it's going to be great. So that's where we are so far. And it's been fine. We haven't had a problem
yet. How long has it been? 2 weeks?
It's been 2 to 3 weeks, somewhere in there.
Is Dominic's daycare, do you walk there or?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just right around the corner from us. So Sean usually will drop him off on the way to work, and then I go over and pick him up in the afternoon. It takes me, 5-10 minutes to walk over there. So that's
convenient. Yeah. Yeah. And Sean works like really close, right?
It's about 25 minutes.
Oh, okay.
His old office. 10 minutes. Yeah, his old office was really close, but the new office is a little further.
Maybe you should start a Gmail account for your car, and then you both can put it on the calendar and share the calendar. And then if you need the car, you'd say, it's on the car's calendar.
Oh, that's interesting.
That probably
I can't get Sean to use Gmail, the Gmail calendar, because he still uses stupid Yahoo Mail. So
oh,
I can't
no.
get it to use
oh,
my Gmail
gosh.
Calendar. Uh-huh. It drives me nuts.
Josh and I have a calendar, and I'm in charge of it, so he'll forward me that. He thinks I'm his secretary. He'll forward me things, but I will. I'll add it to our calendar just so we're on the same page.
Oh, yeah. Everything's got to happen. Like today on my calendar, 2 p.m. plumber shows up. So
yep.
Everything's in our calendar. So
I love the car calendar idea. That's great.
I think that's really interesting.
Or maybe you could start a business where it's called like baby lifts, and, you know, there's one woman or someone that rides around and gives moms and babies rides who don't have cars.
Oh, that's cute.
Like a dog walker, but it's a baby.
You're like a baby
walker?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Natalie, are you considering the bike option that the woman recommended? I can't remember who commented.
It was actually my friend Julia, I think, was one of the ones. I get nervous riding a bike, and even just if it's just me riding the bike, I like to. And Sean and I had a little like 6-month stint where we rode our bikes around a lot before I got pregnant. But I just get really nervous, like somebody's going to run into me or that I'm going to run into somebody. Mm-hmm. And to do that with Dominic, I really thought I was going to. I thought it was going to be a fun thing that we were going to do, but I haven't been able to jump on that bandwagon yet. I want to, but it scares me. Mm-hmm. So I'm not quite there yet. We'll see.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Please ring in on the blog because I think there's a lot more experience to be had on this. I'm so encouraged that so many families actually do this. So make sure you go to mommybaby.com and tell us how you handle your kids and your car situation. Before we wrap up, we have Alex's post to talk about. She wrote one just recently about Reese and her expanding vocabulary that for some reason is still missing that one important word that we all want to hear.
Mama.
Oh, she will. She'll say
it. I know. I'm just waiting so patiently. We practice every day, and I refer to myself as Mama, and I refer to Josh as Dada. And she's hilarious. I'll look at her, and I'll say, Reese, say Mama. And she looks at me straight in the eye and goes, Dada, and starts giggling. And she knows. I think she knows it upsets me. And it's funny. And then she looks at her dad and goes, Dada. And then she looks back at me. I'm like, please, Reese, say Mama. And then she'll just continue. And she'll just say Dada. But she says a handful of other words. But I think what's keeping me going is she's doing so much other stuff right now. She just the past couple weeks has been signing like crazy. And it's so awesome. We started signing when she was like 8, 10 months, and she never did anything back until recently. And it's just nice to see her develop, and she's understands everything. Like, she helps me with the dishes, and when I say it's bath time, she'll walk to the bathroom so that she can get in the bath or bedtime. So this is how I'm making myself feel better. She's doing all these things, but she still doesn't say Mama.
Oh, it's hard.
It is.
Kind of derivation of Mama? Because Miles calls me Mum.
No, she doesn't do any M's.
Oh, okay. Well, see, that's a consolation. She's not. No, if she were saying like Moo, but not Mama, then that would.
Oh, you know, she used to say Moo. The cow says Moo, but she stopped saying that. So, yeah, but that was
She's
the only
very
instant.
Stubborn.
It took Dominic a long time. He was saying like shoes and owl and all kinds of crazy stuff before he said Mama too. He didn't do a lot of M sounds either. He never did that like Mama, Mama, Mama babble.
No.
Yeah. So I think, just have to be patient, unfortunately.
All right. A lot of kids go around the alphabet before they get, to the end.
I like the idea that one person had about leaving for a day and seeing if, like, when you come back, she'll be like, Mama,
Right. I actually have been leaving her. We're members of the JCC, and I'm starting to work out again. So there's a daycare there, so I can leave her for, 1 to 2 hours. But I'm doing that, like, 2 or 3 times a week. So I'm leaving her more often. But, yeah, the full day seems like a long time.
Well, you're going away this weekend, right?
Next weekend I'm going away for 2.5 days.
Yeah.
Ooh,
so
where are you going?
That would count.
Josh and I are going to Sonoma wine country and going to this little spa and just taking a couple days off just to be ourselves or just for it to be us. And we're going to do dinner and wine tasting. No baby.
That sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our baby on the way.
Soon. Very soon.
Procreation. I'm like figuring out how this works.
Okay, you guys are gonna die. I'm not pregnant, but I was looking at the calendar because we're thinking, after the holidays, around the holidays. But we are going away next weekend, and I will be ovulating, so I will definitely be using a condom because if we did conceive, the baby would be born in July and also be a cancer baby. And I swore I was never having a cancer baby again.
Okay. Oh, and I decided to try a little earlier because I didn't want to be pregnant in the middle of the summer again. Not on the East Coast. No way. I was so swampy. So plan accordingly, ladies. All right. Well, before we wrap up the podcast, we want to do two things. First of all, we want to tell you about a special giveaway that we're going to be having on the blog. Now, we always give away something child-related that we endorse that we think is awesome. Some of the things we've been giving away recently include these cute little baby sippy cup face plates, some cookbooks, and that kind of thing. But we are going to next week give away a Sonos. I know we've already given away one, but we're going to give another one. And this one has a value of $750 because it's not just the main Sonos. But it's the Sonos Play 3, the bigger Sonos Play 5, and the Sonos Bridge. So this will allow you to take your entire iTunes library or any internet-connected radio you want to listen to and listen to different things in different areas of your house. It's awesome. I like to listen to podcasts downstairs while Clayton listens to something else upstairs. And a lot of times we put on Pandora with Disney songs up in, you know, in the kitchen when we're with Miles. It's such a cool thing. It would be a great Christmas gift for the entire family. So again, this is a $750 value, and we're going to put up all the details on the post. And then we're going to announce the winner here on the show next week. So make sure you tune into the show to learn about whether or not you actually won this amazing value.
Awesome. I wish we could enter.
Yeah, I know, sorry, seriously.
You guys are ineligible, but you know, we can champion our family and friends to do that. I guess family is fine. No husbands entering, though. Before we go, we want to wrap up with one little victory that we like to talk about, something that we're congratulating ourselves about for parenthood. Jennifer, you want to take this?
Yes, we had the biggest milestone yet. This past Sunday, my little girl took her first steps.
Yay! Yay! I think so she's the earliest baby beta to walk.
Totally, really? By far.
Yeah, she wins.
Oh my gosh, she's so funny. I've been trying to get her to move. My mom likes to call it baby boot camp when she comes to visit or when Elle goes to visit her, doing sit-ups and making her walk around. Whenever my mom comes around and she says, let's walk, she like screams.
So cute.
But the other day, I was just in the living room and my husband was home. I mean, the odds of that were very low. So it was just a really special moment for both of us. And I was playing in her little chair that we got her for her birthday and putting these little dolls in. And I was teasing her because she likes to sit in it. And I was thinking she would come and take them out. And she saw me and she just walked on over like 5 steps. I'm like, what? What? And I started screaming. My husband's That's like, amazing. What's going on? And so then we had to bait her to do a few more walks for us. But she's still going between mostly crawling and then occasionally getting brave and doing the walking. So she's practicing.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
So great. I'd say that's a big victory, not a little victory. But we'll count it.
Seriously.
We'll count it anyway. So you're always free to share your little victories with us. You can email us, mb@mommybeta.com. You can comment on the blog, mommybeta.com, or find us on Facebook or Twitter at mommybeta. We are so glad you joined us. Join us next week. Enter the contest and win yourself a Sonos. And thanks so much for listening to the Mommy Beta podcast. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Happy as can be, flying through the park on our bikes on a Sunday afternoon. You and me, rolling on the floor, practicing your somersaults, your cartwheels, your donkey kicks and more. How did you grow so big overnight? How did you get so smart and bright? Yesterday you were asleep in my arms, today you're growing off the charts. So proud of you. You and me drawing pictures wild and free while the paint goes flying. Your big smile, it brightens up the room. Head on my shoulder, your eyes on the pages ahead. How did you grow so big overnight? How did you get so smart and bright? Yesterday you were asleep in my arms, today you're growing off the charts. I'm so proud.